The following message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 17, 2017. The title of the message is The Practice of Prophesying for the Building Up of the Church as an Exceedingly Great Army. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 through 10, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4.
And we love your word, and we live by every word which proceeds out through your mouth. Speak to us this morning. Speak the Rhema word to us. Lord, we are here for your purpose. We're not here just for ourselves. So we do pray you would enliven us. You would enlighten us. Oh, and you would breathe yourself into us, that we could be those who cooperate with you. Prophesy your word. To build up the church. Amen. Amen. This morning we're reviewing the second message from the recent Ezekiel training, the title of which is The Practice of Prophesying for the Building Up of the Church as an Exceeding Great Army. God's purpose is with man. And in Ezekiel 37, we have a very particular chapter. Many of us have heard about this chapter, about these dry bones in this valley. And God tells Ezekiel, or actually commands him, to prophesy over these bones. In this chapter, God's Spirit enters into his people in order to enliven them, that they may become a corporate body formed as an exceedingly great army. There's quite a picture in this chapter. And the way God does that, the way he enlivens them and brings them together and breathes himself into them is through prophesy. It's by Ezekiel's prophesying. And I was struck with these verses both last week and this week, especially verse 7 and verse 10 when Ezekiel says, "So I prophesy. As I was commanded, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone." That's verse 7. And then verse 10. "So I prophesied, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army." These are very significant verses. And I was just refreshed in these 2 weeks, the importance of our prophesying. And so this morning we want to get into this, a few points from this message. This is a long outline and I don't have the burden to cover it all, and we don't have the time to do that, but there are very practical points and precious points in this message that help us to learn, or maybe I should say this, to help us to improve our prophesying. That our prophesying would be more life-giving, more profitable. That when we speak to one another, we would not only give life to one another, but there would be something to cause us to be built up together. Right? Prophecy speaks. You speak building up. That's quite a phrase. Anyway, we'll get into that verse later. So, first of all, we want to cover this point in the title, The Practice of Prophesying. Now, I think most of us realize there are two ways to carry out a church meeting. One is to hire a pastor, and he speaks to us and gives messages to us every Lord's Day morning, and we just sit back and relax and enjoy the word. And that's an easy way for all of us. We don't have anything to do. We just listen, right? Or the other way for us to have the Christian meeting is for all of us to speak, for more of us to speak, many to speak, and all of us can prophesy one by one. This way of having the Christian meeting is not that easy. It means all of us need to rise up, all of us need to exercise, and not just at the time of the meeting, but even what I was struck with this week, we need a life of prophesying. We need a daily living of prophesying, or of preparing to prophesy. This involves our daily life. And I've said this before, and I'd like to say it again, our daily life matters. Your daily life really matters. When we give this little testimony. When we began to record the hymns, both for the Living Stream and here with the young people, I asked myself this question: why are we doing this? Why would we do this? There's plenty of good music out there. We don't need to do it. But the Lord impressed me that this is another way to minister Christ to people. If we will sing with our spirit, and somehow that spirit can get onto that recording, that may be able to give life to people. There's a ministry there of giving life to people. And that was the reason why I began to do this. And when I first got with the singers, and both the singers, older group that I started with and the younger group that we started here in New York, the first point I said to them is, your daily life matters. You cannot minister Christ if you're not living Christ during the week. This is not a performance. You can't just get up in front of this microphone and release your spirit. And, you know, you have to enjoy the Lord during the week. Your daily life makes all the difference. And if you are enjoying the Lord, and if you're, you know, practicing, getting into the Word every day and during the week, then when you come, whether it's prophesying or singing on a recording or whatever we do to minister life to one another, that will minister life. Because we're filled with life. We're filled with Him. And it just spontaneously comes out. And this is the same way with our prophesying. It's a matter of practice, and it is a matter of our daily life. So the second point, okay, so the practice of prophesying in the meetings of the church fulfills the Lord's prophecy in Matthew 16. We read Matthew 16, 18, right? Let's read it again. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This is the first mention of the church in the Gospels, and this is the greatest prophecy in the entire Bible. I will build my church. And then 1 Corinthians 14, let's read 3 and 4, two verses. But he who prophesies speaks and encouragement and consolation to men. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But he who prophesies builds up the church. These are two very crucial verses for this first point, that the practice of prophesying fulfills the Lord's desire in His heart, expressed in Matthew 16, 18. Our prophesying builds the church. Verse 4, the last part says, he who prophesies builds up the church. But I also enjoyed verse 3, he who prophesies speaks building up. That doesn't sound like good English. Speaks building up. What does this mean? But that's the truth. He who prophesies speaks something that builds people up. It's very simple to understand. When you speak Christ to one another, when we enjoy Christ in our home meeting, our small group meeting, or here on the Lord's Day, or wherever we are together, you speak something of Christ into people. And when I receive that, when I receive the Christ you're speaking to me, that's building up. Christ, the increase of God, is the building of the church. We need more of Christ. We need more of God. And that increase of God is building. That is how the Lord is building His church, by us gaining more of Christ, and so we can speak Christ to one another. We can speak building up to one another. And consolation. You know, there are many times when we're going through things, we need some consolation. We need to be consoled. And if we are together in the meeting, whether the church meeting or the small group meeting, and someone speaks something of Christ to us, we get consoled. They may not even know what we're going through. They may not know what we're passing through, but there's consolation and there's encouragement there. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you got discouraged this week? I'll be the first to raise my hand. things discourage us. Things come along, things in our environment, and we get discouraged. But when we come to the meeting, when we come to be with the saints, and the saints speak Christ to us, they speak what they've enjoyed of the Lord to us, they speak their experience of God to us, you just get encouraged. I remember when I was first in the church life, single brother living in Manhattan, driving out here for the meetings, you know, in traffic, sometimes more than an hour. And I'd get to the meeting, and, you know, I had a bad day, and things didn't go right, and I was really low, really discouraged. And, you know, the saints start to sing, and then the saints start to speak, and I just got encouraged. I would go home. I was a different person driving home than I was driving here. Why? Because prophesying encourages us. It speaks Christ to us. When the saints release what they've enjoyed, we get consoled, we get encouraged. Prophesying is a marvelous practice. So we need to practice prophesying. Amen. Now, to do that, the next point is that we need to live a prophesying life, right? And we live a prophesying life, number one, the first point, I would say the major point, is by loving the Lord Jesus. Do we have John 21? Yeah. Let's read John 21, 15 through 17. These are very familiar verses. Let's read them together. Then, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." When the Lord Jesus resurrected and he was recovering the disciples from going in back into the world after his death, this took place in John 21, a famous portion here where the Lord asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And out of this response, "Yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. You know how much I love you," the Lord's answer to this response, or his next point, was, "Feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs." He wanted Peter, out of his love, to feed the flock, to take care of them, to shepherd the flock. And that's a very precious point. For us to have a life, a daily life of prophesying, number one is we need to love the Lord. If we love the Lord, we'll spend time with the Lord. If we love the Lord, we'll love His Word, because His Word is Him. He is the Word, right? We'll spend more time with Him, more time in the Word, and out of that time with the Lord, in the Word, we will be filled with Him, and spontaneously He will be able to flow out to others. And we will inhale the Word. And then as we speak to others, we exhale the word, and that will feed the lambs. That will feed the sheep. That will build the church. We need to love the Lord. And in this portion that we read in the Holy Word this week, there was a quote from this book, Speaking Christ for the Building Up of the Body of Christ. And Brother Lee gives his testimony of his salvation. And I really love this testimony. Anyway, I'm going to read you a little bit of this portion here. It's in a section on loving the Lord, for speaking for in the church meetings, for the building up of the body. The first point is loving the Lord. And so he mentions this portion in John 21 first, and then he says, "According to the Scriptures, the sisters are weaker vessels according to their nature by birth," 1 Peter 3:7. This is according to God's creation. "But as long as the sisters love him, they will speak." And he talks about how he was born in Christianity, grew up there 19 years, never got saved. But one day he heard about a young sister coming to his town to preach the gospel. She was 25 years old. Think about it. Do we have any sisters in this room that are 25 years old? You're afraid to raise your hand, I know. We do have sisters in this room that are 25, right? He was 19. The sister was 25. And you know, he was in a very, very conservative Chinese culture and environment there. You know, I mean, for a young girl to speak in front of 1,000 people, this is very unusual. You know, I mean, it's not, you don't hear about this all the time. He was curious. He wanted to know, what would this young woman say, right? So he said, one day a young lady came to my hometown. I was 19. She was 25. That was over 60 years ago in conservative mainland China. And then I just described what he said here. He said, I went to this meeting full of curiosity to see this young lady speak. In my whole life, even up to today, this is something, I never heard a person speaking with that much authority. She was a young girl standing on a platform in a meeting place that was filled with about 1,000 people. As I listened to her, all my curiosity was taken away. Every word that she spoke caught me, and I was fully convinced. I was a young man raised up in Christianity, but that day I was convinced and caught by the Lord. After the meeting, as I was walking home, I prayed and gave my entire life to the Lord. This was his experience of salvation. That young lady, who was only 25 years old, loved the Lord to the uttermost. That was her motive. Her love for the Lord was the factor, the element, and the very basic essence of her being powerful. The message she released was from the book of Exodus. She told the audience that Egypt typified the world and all the worldly people were under the tyranny of Satan, just as the children of Israel were under the tyranny of Satan. She said that we had to be delivered out of this tyranny and that this was our Exodus. When I heard this near the beginning of the message, I said to myself, I would not be under Satan's tyranny anymore, because this young sister loved the Lord to the uttermost. She had the Lord's authority, and the impact was in her gospel preaching. Brothers and sisters, we need to have this kind of impact. Amen. If we love the Lord, we will surely be filled with Him. Whatever fills us within will come out of us. So this is the first point. To have a life, a daily life of prophesying, and to practice this kind of life, number one, we need to love the Lord. And we have these verses this week, 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'll just read a portion of it. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love Him, that's an indispensable requirement. If you love Him, He will fill you with Himself. He will come to you, and He will give Himself more and more to you day by day, and you will be filled with Him, and you will have the authority to preach the gospel, just as our young sister did. Amen. Now, the next point that was covered in this message and in our study this week was the matter of we need a life of praying, a life of prayer. And it mentioned this acronym that we've heard probably before, PSRP, which signifies pray reading and studying, reciting and prophesying. We need to be those who are pray reading the Word every day. And as we're pray reading, we can study the Word. We can get into the Word in a deeper way. And then we can repeat and recite what we've learned and what we've enjoyed from that pray reading and from what we've enjoyed for that studying. And even write down any enlightenment that we receive from the Lord as we're practicing this in our daily life. And then that will help us at the end of the week to compose a prophecy from those times we spent with the Lord during the week. And compile those things together so that when we come to the meeting, all of us can be prepared with something. 1 Corinthians 14:26, which we have at the end of we'll read it at the end of the message, but it says, each one has. Every one of us has Christ, right? We have something of Christ that we've experienced, that we've enjoyed during the week. But it's good to write down some of the enlightenment that we receive. I don't know about you, but my memory is getting worse and worse as I get older. And, sometimes on Monday or Tuesday during the week, I really enjoyed something from the verses and from the portion I was reading, this is so good, And then by Thursday, my wife says, "What did you enjoy?" And I can't even remember 2 days ago what I enjoyed. So it's good to write it down. Just write down a little something, a little, trigger to help you remember. And then we can share with one another what we've enjoyed. So, this is a very good practice. And I have to confess that I don't practice PSRP enough. I really don't. I know the saints here, many saints here do, especially the Chinese-speaking saints do. And I mentioned on Friday night, we need to learn from them. There's something in this kind of an exercise, to come together to pray, read, and to study, and to recite together and prophesy together, that will constitute us with the Word. And this kind of bridges into another point a little later in the outline, but for us to be those who prophesy for the building up, we need a constitution. We need to have the Word dwelling in us richly. We need to be constituted with the Word so that we have something to flow out. We have something to speak to one another. So this will very much help us. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Just read you a phrase from there. Maybe, brothers, you can bring it up. This phrase I enjoyed. Good stewards of the varied grace of God. Speaking as oracles of God. This phrase, oracles of God. Our speaking is God speaking. If we are open to Him and we're speaking as He commanded us, then we are His oracle at that time. He's speaking through us. And then Acts 5:20, the Spirit came and spoke to the apostles and told them, "Stand and speak all the words of this life." So, if we have a life of prayer, reading the Word, studying the Word, then we will be able to nourish people with the riches of Christ. We can stand and speak the words of this life. And we will be the oracles of God to them by getting into the Word and studying the Word and praying over the Word. We will have a life of prayer. Then, of course, another verses we have this week about praying or a life of prayer is Acts 6:4. The apostle said, "We will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the Word of God," right? And then 1 John 5:14-15, this phrase, "If we ask anything, He hears us." If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we're praying concerning the meeting, concerning the prophesying in the meeting, concerning the saints being built up. Surely this is according to His will, and He hears us. He will answer our prayers. Amen. One practical point concerning our prophesying in the meetings is related to the opening and the closing word in the meeting. The opening prophecy, of course, when we practice all prophesying, the prophecy shouldn't be too long. When we practice this, the opening word kind of sets the direction and the burden for this portion that we're in this week. And so the opening word is very important to give us some direction. For example, in this title, we talk about the practice of prophesying for the building up of the church, right? So we want to set the direction with the opening word and make it clear. This is why we prophesy. This is what our goal is. This is what our burden is. We're here for the building up of the church. And so we need to learn to prophesy. And then also the concluding word may be more important because the way we end the meeting, the way we conclude the meeting, should bring the saints into the presence of the Lord with a full satisfaction that we have received much life and truth and spirit through all the prophesying during the meeting this morning or this whatever time the meeting is. We should have a good conclusion. so that we felt like, amen, Lord, that was really a good time together. And we all feel so full and satisfied with the riches of Christ in His Word. So the opening and the closing words are very important. And you know, the Lord cares for the quality of our prophesying more than quantity. It's not that if in the prophesying meeting we have 40 people speak, that's better than if we have 20 speak. Maybe, may not be. It depends on the quality of our prophesying. We don't want to waste the saints' time with this or that. We just want to speak what we've experienced, what we've enjoyed, what we've seen, and what we've heard of the Lord. We have many verses about this. You know, the Pharisees told the disciples, you know, no, don't speak in this name anymore. Don't speak in the name of Jesus. And they answered and they said, we cannot help but speak. We will speak what we have seen and heard. And so when we do this, this will help to build the church. And this brings our prophecy up to another level that is better quality and of a good quality. Now, I want to end with this major point in this outline this week was the three constituting elements of prophesying. Three constituting elements. And there are these three. I just summarize them this way. Constitution, inspiration, and revelation. Constitution, inspiration, and revelation. These are the constituting elements of prophesying. For us to prophesy, we need to be constituted with the Word of God. And I mentioned that bridges to this point. We need the proper knowledge of the Word. And we gain that by getting into the Word. Let's read 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. The good teaching which you have closely followed. But the profane, old womanish myths refuse. And exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the present life and of that which is to come. This is Paul's exhortation to his young co-worker, Timothy. Paul had trained Timothy. Timothy was a church kid. He grew up in the church life. And he was acquainted with the Scriptures. And Paul heard about him at a young age and brought him in to help to train him and perfect him. And Timothy was constituted with the Word. And Paul exhorted him and encouraged him. Lay these things. If you lay these things before the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus. These are the words of the faith that we need to lay before one another. And these are the words of the good teaching, which we have closely followed. You know, in the church life, we are so blessed. We receive so much precious teaching. We receive the truth in the Word. We even have been enjoying the high peak of the divine revelation. We, you know, you have so much in you. One of the saints was testifying on Friday night. Sometimes, you know, we in season, out of season, have those experiences. Sometimes we're ready, we prepare for the meeting, and we have something to share. But sometimes, you know, you're on your lunch break, and you go to a fast food restaurant to pick up some food, and there something happens, and you meet someone, and the Lord speaks to you. Speak to them. Give them a tract. Give them something. And so you just feel like, oh, no, Lord, I'm just really out of it. I'm down today, and I just don't have anything, you know. But you do have something. You always have something. So anyway, we need to learn, even out of season, right, to lay something before these friends, before these contacts. And, you know, at least maybe we could have a track on us or something. But we have something to speak to others. And if we lay these things before one another, and even in the gospel, we will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. But first of all, we need some constitution. That's why morning revival is very important. That's why reading the Word every day is very important. That's why getting into the, you know, to the life studies, into some spiritual material, spiritual books is very important, because we need to be constituted with the Word. Amen. Then we need inspiration. It's not just some constitution and then we don't exercise our spirit, right? We need to be inspired. We need the Spirit, right, to fill us, that we would speak with the Spirit, which would be inspiration. We need some. And even when you're in the Word in the morning, as I mentioned, sometimes you get some inspiration from the word you're reading, from the verse you're in, from the portion you're reading. And maybe some enlightenment, maybe something touched you, some experience you reminded of. That's inspiration from the Lord. That's the Lord's instant speaking to you in your spirit. So you need to pray over that and write that down. Lord, sometimes you have a little feeling, you're not sure, what does that mean? I have this kind of feeling. Lord, what do you mean? And just converse with Him. Have some fellowship with Him. And that fellowship may have more light, what the Lord wants to speak to you. And that is your inspiration. And then when we come to speak, we also need to exercise our spirit and speak with our spirit so that what flows out can be inspiration to others. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Let's read those verses together on this point. Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. All Scripture is God-breathed. God is exhaling. And when we pray over the Word, when we pray read the Word, we're inhaling. And then when we speak the Word, we're exhaling. This is inspiration. And expiration, maybe. That word we usually use for something else, something, your coupon expired. But anyway, we also need to exhale, right? We inhale and we exhale. So we get the Word in and we, you know, push the Word out. You know, this matter of inspiration, I felt is very practical, because this is related to being revived every morning. You know, I don't think any of us wake up in our spirit. Sometimes we wake up with a song or a hymn. This morning I woke up with a song. That was good. But I still feel like I have to go to the song to get to my spirit, sing, you know. But anyway, we don't all wake up in our spirit. We need to turn to. That's why the Bible says to turn to the Lord, right? To call on the name of the Lord. When we wake up in the morning, if the first thing we say is, oh, Lord Jesus, even if it's because you don't want to get out of bed, it's still better to call, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to get out of bed. And your calling may help you to get out of bed, may revive you a little. But that's why we call it morning revival. We need to be revived every morning. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 have this phrase. I was going to use this at the very end, but I think it's good to read it. Let's read this verse together. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. This phrase first, our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is morning revival. We need to come to the Lord day by day, morning by morning, and open to Him. Begin our day with Him. You know, I read something, I don't remember now where I read it. It might have been in the New York Times, one of those little clips on the front page. But anyway, some famous person said, you know, the start of a good day is to make your bed. I mean, it was a strange thing. That's why I looked at it. I said, what? Make your bed. So if you spend the time, I think it might have been an army man that became, I think it was Rickenbacker that might have said that. Starting of a good day is to make your bed. And of course, you know, in the military, you really, they make their bed, you know, with the corners and everything like that. But you know, he said that, because you, when you get up and you make your bed and it really looks nice, you feel like, ah, that's good. I can, you know. I know I did. I started my day right. Well, I think starting of the day, we need to be renewed. Of course, you still need to make your bed. Don't get me wrong, but we need to be renewed day by day, coming to the Lord, coming to the Word. Okay, then we'll finish this portion. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. Let's read 18. Because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are. This revival day by day, this being renewed and revived day by day, helps us not to pay that much attention to the outward things. It helps us to realize the eternal things are the invisible things. And I need to pay more attention to those things, even day by day. Then under inspiration, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Then the third one of the constituting elements is revelation. And for that, we need to walk in the light. Let's read 1 John 1:6-7. 1 John 1:6-7. If we say we have fellowship with him, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, for us to receive the revelation. Well, let's also read Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. For us to have a revelation, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we also need to have a daily life of walking in the light, as he is in the light. Because in your light, we see light. The more we're walking in him in the light, the more he can open the word to us and give us the revelation. Give us the vision of what he's doing. Give us the revelation of what this portion is talking about. And we can be revived through the word and receive revelation. And, you know, I don't know if you wondered why we had these two verses this week. Ephesians 3:1 and 4:1. Let's look at those two verses. I think I have them together there. Ephesians 3:1 and 4:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the Gentiles, I beseech you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. Paul talks about being a prisoner two times, beginning of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. We all know Ephesians is one of the highest books in the New Testament, full of revelation, full of vision regarding the church, regarding our Christian life, regarding our walk worthy of his calling. It's full of revelation. But the way Paul received this revelation was by being a prisoner. In chapter 3, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. And in chapter 4, the prisoner in the Lord. Two different phrases. He's the prisoner of Christ, consecrated himself to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to have his ear open to the Lord. Not only so, he was a prisoner in the Lord. That means in his experience, he walked in the Spirit. He walked in Christ. He was a person found in Christ. And Christ was his prison. Christ was his limitation, his confinement. He didn't do anything outside of Christ. And Brother Lee mentions this. He said, if we are free and not in prison, not in Christ as our prison, if we are free, we will be blind. But if we are in Christ as our prison, if we are prisoners of Christ and prisoners in the Lord, we will be full of light and full of revelation. So, brothers and sisters, this has to do, I believe, with our consecration, right? We're constrained by the love of God. We give ourselves to Him. We're here to serve Him. We're here for His purpose. We are the people of God.
Amen.
And we want to accomplish His purpose of building the church. And for that, we need the limitation that it would be no longer I, but Christ who lives.
Amen.
We need to be constrained by Him.
Right.
And check with Him about so many things in our daily life, about what we say, what we do, where we go. We need to be a prisoner in the Lord. If we are, we will be full of revelation, constituted with the Word, full of inspiration, and full of revelation. Then when we speak to one another, when we stand up to prophesy, whether in the small group meeting, whether in the prophesying meeting of the church, wherever we are, even in preaching the gospel, our speaking will have impact. It will have the authority of the Lord. And the Lord's hand will go with His word. And I just feel like, brothers and sisters, this is a marvelous view of the practice of prophesying for the building up of the church. So we need to practice daily. We need to be revived every morning. We need to walk by the Spirit every day. And we need to prepare something to speak every week in the church meetings. If we will do these things, brothers and sisters, I think the church life here will be revolutionized.
Amen.
We will be on another level, on another plane. And the way the Lord is moving on here in New York, we need to be on higher planes, right? We need to be at higher ground. We can't just take things business as usual, same old, same old. No, we can't. The Lord isn't that way. He's fresh and new every morning. He is evergreen every day. He's never old. So we need to join ourselves to Him and be renewed and revived every day. What? For the speaking, the building up, for the building up of the church, and even for the raising up of the church as a mighty army to fight for the Lord. Amen. So now it's your turn to prophesy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we will prophesy as we usually do in languages. So let's sing hymn 864. And the brothers and sisters can go to their different language meeting places for the prophesying. And we will set up the two mics here. And we'll spend the rest of the time to prophesy one by one. Amen.